Welcome to another episode of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the Monday Rundown is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. I don't know, Rob. They probably don't have a Sean Kemp's Kids 2018 Ames City League Champions flag, but I might have to see if they can make one for me down there at Heartland Flags.
It's a good idea. Would you design it yourself?
I might have to. Draw a logo up. Yep. Make it look really nice. But they do have every other flag that you could possibly imagine. Big 12 tournament season. Get your Cyclone flag out front. Support the Clones here over the next several days down in Kansas City. The NBA playoffs are fast approaching, and baseball season is once again right around the corner. Or gardening season right around the corner as well.
Darn right.
So check on out Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com, the presenting sponsor of the Cyclone Fanatic Monday Rundown. What's up, my man?
Not a whole lot. Just a rainy, windy day. Those flags would really snap nicely in the wind on a day like today. But not cold, not snow, and not ice. Not too bad. And obviously a big week with Big 12 tournament on tap.
Yeah, you can't complain.
Championship, I should say.
Yeah, the Big 12 championship, yeah. I'm not a big fan of the rain, but I'm not going to complain as long as it's not snowing. And I know that I think it's supposed to snow tomorrow.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you can handle that. It's going to stay reasonably warm. That'll melt off. No bad roads for you guys heading down to KC or back. Sometimes a concern. I'll keep my fingers crossed for you guys that way.
Thank you. It's not going to be very nice outside down in Kansas City. I already know that for sure.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of a crapshoot. I remember sometimes being down there and that you'd get like an 80-degree day. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, you're down there in the power and light. And between games or after availability before some stuff and – then I came back in this snowstorm once where I had to stop at this motel, right? But you couldn't see the road. You couldn't see where the road ended, the ditch began, and stayed at this motel where they said no guns. They had a big sign, no guns. It was a lovely place.
Was it in Decatur City, Iowa or something?
It was still in Missouri. I have no idea where or whatever. I was trying to make it all the way back.
What's the Eagleville? That's where they have the big fireworks store. Is that right?
Yeah. They got a few good ones there. But yeah. This place apparently had seen some moments. So they were just this
no
giant
guns.
Sign. Yeah, you stay here, you know, and I'm sure everyone abides by that, of course. But I woke up without incident and made it back. It was a nice day the next day. But,
well, that's good.
Let's hope it's not so stormy for the Cyclones as they tee it up against Texas on Wednesday.
Yeah, for sure. We'll start with their final game of the regular season on Friday night against Oklahoma. The game in which Lindell Wigginton murdered another human being.
That dunk was incredible. And so thankful after watching the replay when you see the full, you know, his body, the way he hits the floor.
Yeah.
Hobbled a little bit after that, but clearly no worse for wear long term, it seems like. But that was, you know, I know they made a poll about it, but I mean, that was one of the most impressive dunks I've seen in my lifetime as an Iowa State, you know, fan, somebody around Ames and all that.
I said that when he rose up and then cocked it back, he looked like he was on NBA Jam.
Yeah.
I've never seen any, like, that's exactly what you imagine someone dunking on somebody looks like.
Yeah.
On a video game. And then he did it in real life.
And the photos captured the looks. I mean, he's just like, mm-hmm. And then, you know, you see, who was the defender? Oh, it was Latin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the look on Lard's face and whoever else was standing by him just like,
yeah,
slack jawed.
Jeff Beverly's in the back with, just
Mr. Double Double.
Yeah, man, Jeff Beverly. I'm gonna miss that guy. But yeah, that was absolutely phenomenal. And I think he had to know that eventually he was gonna catch a body on somebody. Just, yeah. I mean, he's too good of an athlete to not. And it just the time finally came where he got like the perfect steps down to get him.
Was that? I know it was SportsCenter top 10. Was that number?
It was number
one?
Two.
Number two.
Number one was like this
crazy.
No, it was in the Oregon, like an Oregon game in the Pac-12 tournament, women's basketball. She made two girls fall dribbling.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought that Lindell should have been one, and then she should have been two. Yeah.
So it was impressive, but also funny in a way, sort of. Yeah, yeah.
But I thought that it was an injustice. Lindell should have been number one.
No question about that. It's too bad that the rest of the game couldn't live up to, you know, it's hard to live up to that. But
right.
the Cyclones had so many struggles and stretches most of the rest of the game.
The dunk was so good that it literally broke my phone. It was frozen for like 10 minutes because it was buzzing so much. But other than that, pretty uneventful game.
Yeah, it's kind of become the standard Cyclone loss now. You just have enough bad stretches late in half again.
Yeah, well, you hang tough for 18, 19, 20 minutes, you know, and then they come out and make a big run at the beginning of the second half, and then it's pretty much over.
Yeah, and trying to get back into it, you just don't have enough shooters. You don't have enough consistency, bodies, whatever you want to call it. So that's kind of the theme of the season once the team became so depleted, just not enough, not enough. I think a bunch of game guys, a bunch of guys who cared, but still they had to come together as a whole new unit this year, and that was tested. And at times they passed that test. At times they were kind of iffy on it. And hopefully they can catch something and be really solid in Kansas City. It looks crazy wide open there as usual. But I guess we shall see.
Did you see Lindell's comments to Travis Hines after the game?
Mm-hmm.
I should probably try and find them. Instead of
basically
coming up with them off the top of my head.
Paraphrasing, I could say just, you know, not just insinuating, more or less saying that not everyone is buying in to Coach Prohm and the staff, and that's obviously troubling. I don't think it's that surprising. I think sometimes, again, I didn't see a lack of effort ever from this team, but I remember once.
All right, I got it.
Yeah.
All right, this is from Travis Hines. Quote, everybody not buying into what Coach is saying. Coach has done it on the big stage for a long time. He's a winner. Everybody isn't really buying into what he's saying and doing what he does best. That's been the frustrating part. Everybody not clicking and buying into what he's saying. Unquote. So that's tough.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's all that surprising, and it's also – you know, more magnified in the midst of this losing streak to end the regular season and the, you know, the injuries and all that. But I was going to say, I still think guys, I didn't see guys that, you know, weren't trying or weren't trying to get back. It reminded me of once I think I asked Bill Fenley once about teams playing hard. Sometimes they're playing hard just to play hard. Like, they don't necessarily, they're not in a position to do something good, but they're running around, right?
Yeah.
And whether his team was doing that at times in a certain game, he's like, well, yeah, I mean, I think that was happening. I mean, whether it was a lack of confidence in some people, I mean, that gets tested in a season like this too. And then you revert to some other things. But, you know, sometimes it's effort for effort's sake, right? I'm going to run around the floor. I'm going to be cut here. I'm going to do this.
Well, it's the thing that people talked about at the beginning of the year where they said it didn't look like they were defending hard. And they said, we'd rather see them make mistakes at a million miles an hour than not try.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, you can make mistakes at a million miles an hour, but then you have to remember that someone has to compensate for those mistakes, you know? So I think that you see some of that, but then I think you see people just get tired and then they just make lazy mistakes, you know? Which is, I mean, not unexpected with as many guys as they have.
Yeah. I mean, as tired, it's very easy to lapse out of, you know, something's being preached to you when you're just so sapped of energy. You know, it's kind of like, you know, whatever, I'm just going to drag myself along here. And I'm getting one of those ghosted.
Oh, there we go.
Calls there. Somebody can offer me a cruise to...
Or your Google Business.
This is the one I get sometimes. But, yeah, I mean, it tough loss. Sadly, went the way I expected. Didn't expect them. I mean, they played good D on Trae Young, but he obviously really struggled, too, as he has in some of these games for them late. But
that dude, I don't know that I've ever seen a guy... I was arguing about this with somebody, my friend Ryan, yesterday. He asked me if I thought Devontae Graham should have been Big 12 Player of the Year, which gives us a nice transition into Devontae Graham was Big 12 Player of the Year. Lindell Wigginton, Donovan Jackson, Cameron Lard, all honorable mention, all Big 12. Lindell, a member of the all-newcomer team. And I was like, dude, look at what Trae Young did in the last 10 games.
Yep.
And you'll you'll understand why he did not win Player of the Year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no question. I mean, Graham, the leader of the team that won, again, title.
You can't give the Player of the Year to the best player on the team that finished literally ninth in the league.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, via tiebreakers and all that, right? I mean, and what'd they lose, 8 of 10 mm-hmm. down the stretch? They'd lost 8 of 9 heading into the game against the Cyclones. Yeah. And you know, yes, it's not necessarily it's always a bit of a team award. And, you know, Kansas wins the title again. Graham is that good. Best assist to turnover ratio. Such a clutch player. It's also a career award sometimes, too.
Yeah.
And he was definitely deserving of it. Now, if Oklahoma had stayed up there and say they finished somewhere like right around where West Virginia was, that's a tougher call. But, you know, the fact that the team floundered so much late, and he himself did to some degree, it's hard to keep up the pace that he'd set for himself. But nonetheless, he had some really poor games down the stretch. I don't think that should be a controversial deal at all.
Well, and it's the same reason that I don't think we'll see him win National Player of the Year anymore when, you know, it 6 weeks ago or whatever, it would have been unfathomable that he wasn't going to win it.
Yeah.
You know? And you think about, I mean, they're going to be probably an 8 or 9 seed in the NCAA tournament. You can't give National Player of the Year to a guy on the 9 seed team.
No.
No. I mean, at least not in my mind, you know.
No, I totally agree with you there. I mean, you can't. Just like you can't if a team it doesn't make the tournament, you know.
Yeah.
Like a Ben Simmons type thing. Not necessarily that he was even deserving, but I mean, best player.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, absolutely can't. I mean, he's a magnificent player. I think he'll have a great pro career. And I think he's about the right things. I think he works hard, and he just went through a lull, which can happen to – heck, it can happen to a veteran, let alone a true freshman.
Right.
So kudos to him for his what I assume is his Oklahoma career of one season. not really in that conversation still, but clearly not the guy that should win that award either.
For sure. And then we'll – you know, to see Lindell, Cam, and Donovan – all well-deserved. I think that you could have made a case for at least Lindell and Donovan to make one of the teams, mm-hmm. but with as many good players as there is in the league and the fact that Iowa State finished 10th, I wasn't overly surprised to see them all three on honorable mention. I was a little surprised to see Cam on there, I guess, just I didn't know if he would get it, but I think that it was well-deserved for each of them.
Absolutely. I think opposing coaches know what a terror Cam Lard can be for them down the road and what a terror he is. Even though some inconsistency, right? But he was a double-double machine for a while. He's had a couple, you know, downer games kind of late. But, in terms of a Lindell or a Donovan maybe making one of the teams, I think you're exactly right. You look at the guys they would have to replace and how their teams did. And all that is kind of like, how do you elevate somebody from the team in the cellar, you know, with similar stats, maybe, and also you've got a true freshman in one case, a senior, yes, definitely in Donovan's case, but he unfortunately had some of those games too, 2 points, 3 points, struggles. I mean, I hope he's remembered though extremely fondly, not just for the shot at Kansas, you know, but that guy is a tremendous gamer. You know, they talk about the balls all the time, but. You know, having to go through what he went through with losing his dad in the midst of, you know, a tough finish to a regular season. Just a guy that I think, given the right circumstances, a more veteran team this year, you know, everyone says it, he deserved a better fate for his senior season. But, you know, certainly a great Cyclone, and Fleet comes around for some of those reunions down the road and people celebrate him in his career.
I'm looking at this. At these teams now, it's kind of funny. On the first team, there's 4 guards and 1 forward, which was Dean Wade.
Yeah.
Second team is 3 guards, 2 forwards, which is about what you would expect. The third team is 2 centers, 2 forwards, and 1 guard.
That's Oddly configured.
And then I'm looking at this. I would imagine, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I would not be at all surprised to see Lindell as a preseason all-conference player next year.
I wouldn't be surprised at all either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's only four guys coming back that are on the teams.
Exactly. And we know what type of production he had.
I wouldn't even be surprised to see Cam on there.
And that's that first year to second year development. I would not be. I'd be a little bit more surprised with Cam, even though, you know, Lindell wasn't the portrait of consistency. He was certainly pretty consistent, especially for a true freshman. I'd say very consistent.
Yeah.
But I think they both absolutely should be in the conversation, just given their skill set and their ceiling and what they demonstrated this year.
For sure. All right, our last thing. Alan Lazard over the weekend participating in the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Alan made himself some money, Rob.
Yep. He was already going to get some.
Yeah.
But
I think he might have proved some detractors wrong.
Yep. I totally agree. I mean, that 40 time, second 40 time was better than
4.55.
Yeah.
For anybody that doesn't know.
Anybody would have guessed. I think most people probably had him pegged in the 4.6 range.
Yeah.
And that's huge. I mean, those, again, as I tweeted it out after the first one where I said, you know, Jerry Rice, 4.7. I mean, different era. I mean, you didn't see him play a whole lot in your lifetime, but one of, obviously, the NFL's greatest receivers ever, and it wasn't because he was blazing fast or even that big. He was just that good a football player. Alan Lazard is that good a football player, and his measurables now are better than people expected. So I think I wouldn't be that stunned to see him. I mean, he again, could fall just about anywhere in the draft, depending on need, and wide receivers are frequently kind of like running backs have become, unless you're the elite, most elite of the elite.
Right.
You know, you fall into that, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I mean, you could almost fall anywhere in there. But I think he's a very solid, absolute middle round guy now. I don't think anybody's going to wait until the last couple rounds to get Alan Lazard locked up,
right?
Because he's that good. I'd imagine, you know, from all the character stuff, the sit downs. I mean, he's going to ace those. We all know that. So be interesting to see where he's going to go. And interesting also, I mean, pro day is going to be big for a guy like Joel Lanning, who is going to obviously intriguing a lot of teams, and then a lot of other guys in that mix too. It's going to be
Week. No, it's 2 weeks from now.
I think so.
Yeah. 2 weeks from now.
I mean, a lot of guys, as I've said before, I think with legit pro aspirations, I mean, even if it's not the NFL, I mean, or even practice squad, I think some guys that could really make some money in the CFL, like some Cyclones have, Darren Davis did, Troy and Darren, and, you know, he's there right now, the D lineman who's from Canada, I'm blanking on his name. He's been playing for a while. Dang it, why am I blanking on it? Brent Curve played there for a while, the last Where Are They Now feature guy. I really intrigued, like I said, about the possibilities for these guys. I think there's a lot of pros that are going to be there on pro day.
I think Alan would look awfully good in purple and gold. It's just my personal opinion.
That would be incredible.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was looking at different things about where he kind of stacked up in comparison to other guys that, of his size that had been at the combine. And they talked, you know, like guys that came up, Mike Evans plays for the Bucks now, obviously played at Texas A&M, Josh Gordon when he was coming out of Baylor, some, you know, guys like that that are had similar measurables and performed similarly at the combine.
Yeah. I think
I'd be surprised if we don't see him in like the fourth or fifth round is what I would say.
Absolutely.
That's my guess.
Absolutely. If not, even maybe somehow sneaks up somewhere into the third.
Yeah.
I mean, I he was pegged as solidly a 4-2 basically end of draft kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think he might sneak up a few teams, list boards, and maybe if the situation is right, get up there even higher. Finally get the neat thing is you know for certain it's going to be a Cyclone draft for the first time since Jeremiah George in 2014. So that's another positive, hugely positive thing.
You just think about those things that Mel Kiper said to you in the story you wrote. And it feels like he really put some of those to rest with his performance on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, because he's going to be able to be very physical with those lockdown corners, and also and he's got better speed than people thought. Mm-hmm. That straight line speed. I mean, obviously there's a difference when you got to make a cut, but I mean, he's so good going to get in the football. I mean, the few drop issues notwithstanding, he's very, he's on balance, a very sure-handed receiver that can, it's got a good, you know, vertical and better speed than people thought. So, I mean, I think, you know, they floated the, you know, the stories that were written there, floated the tight end possibilities like, hey, whatever, I'll do it. And you've got very big physical and athletic tight ends that have been all throughout the league from, you know, your Jimmy Grahams, your Greg Olsons, your, you know, so many. I mean, how great was, I mean, a lot of great tight ends that played that have that size and athleticism that I think Allen can even add bulk as strong as he is already.
For sure. All right. I'll say tomorrow night, Tuesday, 6 to 7, we'll have the Cyclone Fanatic radio show on 1460 KXNO. Rob and I are going to give some predictions on the Big 12 tournament. I know we didn't really talk about Texas at all on this one, but we're going to talk about a lot about that on that show. And I'll also be talking to Chris as he's on his way up to Sioux Falls. What else do I got?
I don't know. We got some, you know, we'll have the stories leading up. You guys will have fine coverage of the Cyclones on Wednesday and hopefully beyond. And just stay tuned.
I'll say, too, if you'd never listened to our podcast with Jay Jordan last week, you should definitely do that because it is very good. But other than that, thanks to Heartland Flags. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you for listening, everybody, and I'll talk to you guys soon.